Perfect timing. How about that? Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the house of God on this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for our God is a great God and has done good things for us. As we come this morning in worship, a welcome also to all those who are joining us online. We are pleased that you are present with us and wish this day to be a blessing upon you. Announcements were before you as you came into worship this morning, but a couple of quick things for you this morning. The first is there will be no pickleball this afternoon, so pickleball is done for the rest of the, until fall, right, Laura? So please make note of that. A special note of thanks go out to Laura and Terry Kuhn from Roy Florist for roses that will be distributed to mothers a little bit later this morning. And a note for the choir that there will be a choir practice after worship this morning, so please make note of that. And if you've been part of our pickup choirs along the way, and along the way you have carried home with you a copy of the John Rutter All Things Bright and Beautiful, if you could bring those back, that would be lovely. Rosemary Brown from the United Church loaned us 10 copies. I have 2 downstairs, so I don't know where the others went, but someplace bright and beautiful, no doubt. So if you've got one of those at home that you took home to practice, please bring them back. The call to worship for this morning is a response of... I haven't forgotten the candle in a long time, you know. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we as his faithful followers seek to walk in his way. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the house of the Lord this morning. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm.
Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for the life of Jesus among us, and for the fact that he now reigns in power for us. Strengthen our hope and bless the work of our hands that we may live as his body in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we come this morning in praise, singing hymn 61. O come and sing unto the Lord, hymn number 61.
Oh,
Friends, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, interceding with sighs too deep for words. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we join our voices and say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Almighty God, you came down from heaven and taught us how to love you and your world. When you returned to heaven to reign in glory, you commanded us to go and do as you did. Yet we so often find ourselves staring up at the sky instead of looking at the needs of those around us. We so often find ourselves staring up at the sky instead of looking for how we can better advocate for your justice and peace. We so often find ourselves staring up at the sky instead of responding to your call to go and serve. Forgive us, Lord, for our inaction, for our wanton disregard of your commandments, and for our lazy faith. Amen. Beloved people of God, the Lord Most High is an awesome God, the great King over all the earth. God chose our inheritance for us. God loved us while we were still sinners. And even though we are broken people, God chose us to be a chosen race, forgiving us and equipping us for service. In the name of the ascending and reigning Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us join our voices in praise as we sing 569 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens, O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 569 in the Book of Praise.
Thank you.
morning, everyone. Before I ask the young people to come forward, because they have a task, and so they're keyed up for a task, so I'm going to do the children's story before they get here. But just wanted to take a little bit of time. Of course, this morning is Mother's Day in the world around us, so a special welcome and greeting to all of those of you who are mothers this morning for Mother's Day. And I'll stop for a second. Am I on the camera at the back there, Brian? Yeah, good morning to my mother, too. Who will see this later this evening. So one of the wonderful blessings is I get to wish my mother happy Mother's Day on the morning of. As we come this morning, as we celebrate, of course, in the world around us, it's Mother's Day. Here in the church, of slight variation on the theme, we call it Christian Family Sunday. So, of course, that includes our mothers, most definitely, right, who are part of our families. That includes all the rest of our families, those who are sitting beside you this morning, and that's a wonderful thing as well, who are related to you by genes and blood. And all of those who are sitting beside you this morning who aren't related to you by genes and blood at all, but who are related to you because we are all part of the family of God. One of those words that we use often sometimes in church is the word adoption, right? And we all know young people who have been adopted over the years. You know, when you're mad at your brother or your sister, you tell them that they were adopted too. If you've had anybody like that in your family. But adoption means that we're all a family together. And as we just sang in that hymn, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to love you to the end," it's in places like this with our family of faith. It's in places like this with our biological families and with our mothers that we learn the faith and we are nurtured to be followers of Jesus. So all of that comes together this morning as we come and gather. And of course, we celebrate mothers this morning. So Trish is going to come forward, and I'm going to ask the young people who are all at the back to come forward too, because they have a special gift for all those. Are we giving them the mothers this morning? For all the mothers. So if everybody wants to, you go ahead, Laura. Laura. I'll let Laura take charge.
Morning, everybody. On Friday night, it was fun day Friday. So we met at the church and with the youngins here, and we had some fun. But during that time, Colleen Jones came in, and she had a craft that she wanted to do with the kids so that they could do it, and then hand them out on this Sunday, Mother's Day. And so Izzy has something and they're going to just distribute. If you could each take a couple and go scan out the congregation and hand them out, that would be wonderful. And it's a little happy Mother's Day from the young kids in the family, Christian family, out to you. So we'll... Can I say my ready, set, go? Jake, would you be able to take care of the choir? Thank you, sir.
That's it for the flowers. Okay, good.
Oh, we're all out? Oh, dang. Yours are in the mail. Choirs are in the mail.
And now I think the young people are going to go down for their class. So we'll excuse them now. And we'll
Happy
see
Mother's
them all
Day.
At the end of the worship service. Morning, Preston. How are you this morning? Good. You guys are going to go downstairs now, okay? But I'll see you later. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, O God, and grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation through the reading of this, your word, on this, your day. Amen.
Our first reading is from Acts 1, chapter 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And responsive reading from Psalm 47, and the words will appear before you on the screen. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put together all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Our hymn is number 274, Crown Him with Many Crowns, hymn 274.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Luke. Reading Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Once more, let us listen for God's word to his people. Then Jesus spoke to them. These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the laws of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our reading for this morning from the Acts of the Apostles leaves the disciples staring off into heaven, staring up at the glory of God. Something I think that we can all relate to. Over the past month, we've spent a good deal of time, haven't we? Standing in our yards, staring up into the heavens. First, it was to observe the solar eclipse. And in many parts of North America this weekend, people have been staring up into the heavens to observe the northern lights, observable in many places where they are not usually seen. Now, unfortunately, for those of us who live in Cornwall, we haven't had to go out and stand and stare up at heaven because it's been cloudy all weekend. And we've missed, if the pictures that you've seen on your Facebook feed are like mine, we've missed something totally spectacular, but I digress. As I was thinking about this text and the disciples standing there staring up into heaven, as we have been so often in this last little while, I was wondering, do you think that the disciples had to wear special glasses for the ascension? Do you think when they were gazing up into heaven, as Jesus left to return to his Father, did they really need these glasses to protect their eyes from the glory of God that surely was shining all about on that day? I'll take them off for a while. One might argue that they did. Think about the witness of Scripture. After all, Scripture is filled with stories of the overwhelming nature of God's glory. Think back to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, we're told that God put Moses into the cleft of the rock so that God might pass by and so that Moses might get a glimpse, just a glimpse of God, so that he could see God's back. But the fullness of God's glory, Moses could not have seen and lived. Or at Advent time. At Advent time, we tell the story about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist and one of the priestly caste. Zechariah, we're told in Matthew's gospel, goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple because he is the priest on duty and he must offer the sacrifice to God. And we remember how the priests entered that Holy of Holies with fear and trembling because they were drawing so near to the glory of God that they might be consumed by it. And as it turns out, Zechariah is struck mute by the God who resides on the other side of the curtain. Part of my family lore is that in 1972, the then 9-year-old me put cardboard over all of the windows of the house as the last solar eclipse passed by, lest my eyes be damaged by the sun. I'm nothing if I'm not cautious. But here in this passage of Scripture, the disciples are left with their heads lifted up, gazing into heaven as Jesus ascends from their sight, and they just don't see. If you remember, though, in those days leading up to the eclipse not that long ago, scientists in the media were encouraging people not to become fixated on the sun during the time of the eclipse, but to actually look down and to look around them, to notice the darkness, to notice how things would fall silent in that moment as birds would think that it was night and they would cease their singing, to notice the planets that would appear in the sky in the middle of the day. And likewise, here in the book of Acts, the disciples had become so fixated on the ascending Jesus and this wonder that was occurring before them that they became oblivious to what was happening all around them. That's why these two sudden men in white robes return to the story. You remember the two sudden men in white robes, don't you? They were present at the tomb on the first Easter morning, and they're present here today. Anytime it seems that God intervenes into our realm, God also sends his messengers, lest we become so fixated by the inbreaking of the kingdom of God all around us that we fail to recognize the significance of these events for our own lives. During these 40 days between Easter and Ascension, Jesus has been reunited with his disciples, and he has continued to teach them about the kingdom of God and what the full significance of his life and death had been. But with the ascension, the torch is passed. With Jesus removed from human history once more, it falls upon the disciples to proclaim the good news. Rather than being distracted by the eruption of God's glory above them, these two sudden men in white garments once more turn the focus of the disciples back and into the world around them. And the world will be equally as surprising as the glory of heaven above them. As we come together this morning celebrating the feast of the Ascension, we are reminded of the church's mission into the world. Jesus' last words to his disciples were these: "It's not for you to know about the times and the seasons when the kingdom of heaven will return, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." Over the past several weeks, we've been reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and we've been hearing what that ministry of the apostles would look like. As the disciples encountered a diverse and surprising groups of people. We heard the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We heard the story of Peter's meeting and conversion of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. We've heard how the disciples have been led to proclaim God's good news to people who many would have believed were outside of the covenant, foreigners to God's grace. And yet Jesus sends his disciples out to Samaria, or sorry, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And they will encounter surprising people along the way. People who many thought were not entitled to know God's grace. But God sent Christ to save the whole world. And Jesus sends us to be a people of love and a people of hope and a people of inclusion to all who will come and hear this wonderful story. In a world that's marked with division, where even politics seems to have become an all-or-nothing proposition rather than an open sharing of ideas, we're reminded again and again that no one exists outside the circle of God's grace. The American novelist Flannery O'Connor wrote a short story entitled Revelation. It was part of a book study that I did a number of years ago, a Bible study made up of pieces of literature. And in her short story, Revelation, it's set in difficult times. It's set in the racially divided American South some decades ago. And its central character is a woman named Mrs. Turpin. We never do learn her first name. But Mrs. Turpin is, well, she's a less than attractive Southern woman. She judges everyone. The story starts with her in the doctor's office judging all of the people sitting in the waiting room and ends with her judging the farm workers on their farm at home. And yet, she is surprised by the joy of the black farm workers that pick her cotton. They always seem to be happy, and at first in her judging way, she thinks that it is nothing more than that they are too simple to know any better. But the story closes with a revelation, a vision. Mrs. Turpin stood there, her gaze fixed on the highway, all of her muscles rigid, until in 5 or 6 minutes the truck reappeared, returning. She waited until it had time to turn into her own road, and then, like a monumental statue come to life, she bent her head slowly and gazed, as if through the very heart of mystery, down into the pig parlor at the Hogs. They had settled all in one corner around the old sow who was grunting softly. A red glow suffused them. They appeared to pant with a secret life. Until the sun slipped finally behind the tree line, Mrs. Turpin remained there with her gaze bent to them as if she were absorbing some abysmal, life-giving knowledge. At last, she lifted her head. There was only a purple streak in the sky, cutting through a field of crimson and leading like an extension of the highway into the descending dusk. She raised her hands from the side of the pen in a gesture hieratic and profound. A visionary light settled in her eyes. She saw the streak as a vast swinging bridge extending upward from the earth through a field of living fire. Upon it, a vast horde of souls were rumbling toward heaven. There were whole companies of white trash and battalions of freaks and lunatics shouting and clapping and leaping like frogs. And bringing up the end of the procession was a tribe of people who she recognized at once as those who, like herself and Claude, had always had a little of everything and the God-given wit to use it right. She leaned forward to observe them closer. They were marching behind these others with great dignity, accountable, as they always have been, for good order and common sense and respectable behavior. They alone were on key. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces that even their virtues were being burned away. She lowered her hands and gripped the rails of the hog pen, her eyes small but fixed unblinkingly on what lay ahead. In a moment, the vision faded, but she remained where she was, immobile. At length, she got down and turned off the faucet and made her slow way on the darkening path to the house. In the woods around her, the invisible cricket chorus had struck up, but what she heard were the voices of the souls climbing upward into the starry field and shouting, Alleluia. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up toward heaven? The wonder of God's kingdom and all its glory is here, is all around us. So let us go forth and let us praise the Lord. Amen. Friends, Christ called us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So let us give generously so that we might fulfill that calling as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Holy One, we clap our hands and shout for joy, for you are a great God, and you have done great things for us. And now we present these offerings as our response to your goodness and our prayer that your reconciling love will be made known to all people. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of life, you have begun the work of creating a new world, a world where justice is known, where freedom and healing are available to all people. And we are grateful for the seeds that you have sown. We pray this day for the places in this world that are caught up in violence, where people are held captive or struggle under oppression, and where sickness prevails and medical resources are scarce. We pray that all may know courage and perseverance through your Spirit, and may people everywhere find the fullness of life as you have intended it for us all. God of human connection, you have begun the work of creating a new community, one where love is shared and all find a sense of belonging. We are grateful that we belong to you, and we pray for groups who are made to feel like they don't belong, for families caught up in tension or in strife, and for those who feel that no one seems to care. We pray that people everywhere may find the fullness of life that you have intended for us all. And especially on this Christian Family Sunday, we pray for the families that we belong to. We thank you for parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, for the generations who started our families and all they have given to us. Today, we thank you especially for our mothers and pray for all mothers around the world. Give mothers hope for their children and peace in the world to raise their children safely. Comfort and support each member of our families and guide each child and young person into the future. Lord Jesus, we pray for each other and for our church family. We thank you for the friendship and fellowship we share in this place and for the unique gifts each one of us brings to our life together. In this place, the faith has been nurtured from generation to generation. Show us our paths into the future and reveal to us our gospel calling in new and challenging times. Send your encouraging spirit to gather the church in ways both familiar and new. May your servants in every church know the fullness of life as you intend it for us all. And may they be empowered to bear witness to Jesus in new, in refreshing ways. For together we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is 275. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, number 275, or as the words appear before you. Thank you. And now, let us grow together in faith and love, being the church which is Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And as you go forth, may you find hope to which God has called you, the glorious inheritance that you have received, and God's power that is at work in you through Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.